to NOPC, the New Orleans podcast. And today's topic is going to be the Catholic League.
The Catholic League of football, and well, really the Catholic League, but we're going to touch mostly on football because it's the 100th game between Holy Cross and Jesuit.
And my name's Richard Dubas, and I went to Holy Cross.
My name's Lance Arnold, and I went to Archbishop Shaw, two Catholic League schools. So that's one big reason why we're talking about Catholic League, because it is, you know, pretty near and dear to our hearts. We've had rivalries with all these schools, Holy Cross, Jesuit, and I mean, Shaw's big rivalry was Rummel for the megaphone. y'all got the golden football between you two schools.
And with that, let's go to trivia. So our trivia question, as it normally does, revolves around our topic. And our trivia question today is, what is the oldest rivalry in New Orleans? And I felt like I've been lied to.
Yes, and the hint with that is that he's always been told it was Jesuit and Holy Cross who just played their 100th game against each other. But my research shows that they are not the oldest rivalry in the city.
What else did they lie to me about?
We'll find out later.
But before we jump into the Catholic League, we have to do our tradition of trying out a new beer. So what do we have today?
Well, because my Shaw Eagles lost so devastatingly to arch rivals Rummel, as I just told you about the megaphone, I think it was 42-0, we're going to drink. It's out of Lake Charles, and the name of the brewery is Crying Eagle, because we Shaw Eagles are crying this week. Because of that devastating loss and the loss of the megaphone.
This beer has a very nice color on the label. It's like a pinkish.
And you can tell that I chose this beer because it's a raspberry beer with passion fruit. So it's giving me some purple haze in there and passion fruit. That was sort of the hurricane. So we're mixing a few of our other shows in here.
And you always go for the pink.
It's a Berliner Weiss style ale, passion fruit raspberry beer. I didn't go for it because it was pink. I did go for it because I like raspberry beers. My favorite beer by Vita, you know, is Purple Haze, which is a raspberry beer. So we're going to go ahead and try this and talk about this brewery a little bit.
All right, let's open it up.
Okay, I'm going to try to say, you can go ahead and give it a shot. But Crying Eagle started with a conversation at the family supper table. They're sitting around talking about, hey, I don't know what their conversation was about. I assume it was about beer. And then they started making beer. The Crying Eagle is a rough translation of the Atacapa Indian word, which is Qualquishu. Qualquishu?
I'm so glad that you are reading the facts.
Well, you'll see where Qualquishu is going. Qualquishu is the name of a legendary Indian chief with a unique battle cry.
Oh, yeah?
So it's not named Crying Eagle because the eagle's crying because Rommel kicked their butts. It's a Crying Eagle because it was the war cry of the Indian chief. The Qualquishu. Well, and later the beers named after Crying Eagle was a Calcasieu Parish. Mm-hmm. So Qualquishu evolves into Calcasieu, which is the parish that is in the Calcasieu River, which is where the people are from that made this beer.
Well, maybe you should teach Shaw the battle cry. Then you can get that megaphone next year.
We don't need no megaphone for our battle cry. No one can keep it.
So here, cheers.
So what do you think?
I kind of like it. It reminds me of the beer we tried last time during exam day. So it kind of has that rosé flavor, but I will say I kind of like this one a little bit more on the rosé.
Yeah, well, I like this one better than the rosé. But what I'm reading here, and this is from beeradvocate.com, telling us a little bit about the beer, saying it has an aroma of powdered-covered strawberries. That's what I just smelled. I don't know about that. They say it tastes a little bit like powdered-covered raspberries. With not as much tartiness as you'd expect from a fruity beer, which I agree, I'm not tasting it as being that tart.
So does their brewery give a lot of powdered fruits?
I don't know. This is not the brewery's description. This is,
okay.
Yeah. He called it smooth, wet, refreshing, very approachable. So you don't have to sneak up on it?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, can I have some of you?
It is a really nice beer if you want to go walking. It's probably not a good chug it down and smash the can.
No, but it's kind of beer, but it's good on a sunny day if you're with your lady. Yeah. You know, you may not want to be caught walking around everywhere with holding a pink beer.
Only in New Orleans.
That's why they make koozies. I do like this beer. Some of their other popular beers are Pistol Bridge, Louisiana Lager, Ready to Mingle, and Hop Blooded IPA. So, actually, I've never heard of this brewery, but I do like this one, and I'll check out some of the other ones. And actually, this is the only one I think they had on the shelf at Bromart when I stopped by there. But the pink caught my eye. I was like, ooh, pink must be fruity, and you know I like fruity beers.
Yes, so you know how much you love the fruity.
But no, I do like this beer, and hey, shout out to Crying Eagle. Good beer. Yeah. Hopefully one day we'll head out there and stop by your brew house. They do have a brew house and a restaurant and all that kind of stuff too. So if you're passing through Lake Charles, or if you're in Lake Charles, stop by, have a beer, yeah, have some food, party.
There we go. The roots of the Catholic League go as far back as 1895. In the early 1900s, Jesuit, St. Aloysius, and Holy Cross started playing. And in 1956, Redemptionists and De La Salle joined the league, forming the Catholic League just as we know it today. It's made up of the oldest and biggest Catholic schools in New Orleans. And today, it is one of the oldest continuing prep leagues in the country, with rivalries dating back 90 years. There are some public schools that have joined along the way, like Chalmette High played from 1970 to 1988 and came back some years later. In 1993, the Louisiana High School Athletic Association tried to dissolve the Catholic League, stating that not all schools had the enrollment for Quad A Division. Catholic schools were even afraid that they would suffer losses at the gates, as rivalries would be discontinued, and public schools thought that Catholic schools were just too good to be in their division. The Catholic League remained intact with the addition of Slidell, which, trust me, did not please the rivals of the North Shore. And even in 2005, the rule was the LHSAA passes a rule that not all schools can play higher than the division that their enrollment led. In 2005, Shaw had to leave, and in 2007, even Holy Cross had to leave after Katrina, and they went down two divisions, which I remember those years. In 2009, Shaw went back, and then in 2010, Shaw and St. Aug lost the enrollment and were forced to go down because of the LHSSA rule. Brother Martin, Jesuit, and Rummel were joined by three public schools, but most of the rivalries remained despite being in separate divisions. And in 2012, Holy Cross, Shaw, St. Aug were able to rejoin Brother Martin, Jesuit, and Rummel to reform the Catholic League of the past. But in 2014, the powerhouse of New Orleans schools, John Curtis, has joined the Catholic League.
Yeah, and Curtis has won 25 state championships, I think 20 before they even joined our league. And, you know, total, I think the league has won Jesuit, Holy Cross, St. Aug, Shaw, all of them have won 19 in their history. So that's a formidable opponent, even though Curtis was playing much lower levels than we were. But that's a good addition to it, because Curtis has been around forever kicking everybody's butt. Chalmette, I feel so bad for Chalmette when they were in the Catholic League, because they're like the Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, because they were always, every now and then they'd win, of course, they had the rivalry with Holy Cross also.
Yeah, and they would always, I remember when I used to play football, played is such a loose term. Yeah. But yeah, Chalmette was always that when that big game. It was Jesuit and then Chalmette. Chalmette would always have to do like trick plays to kind of, like, they would always have wacky, like, people would run off the sideline and go catch a deep pass or pretend that they hit the ball and be like, this is the wrong ball, and the quarterback would run, like, 40 yards.
So some of the other schools that were in the district from time to time were Terrebonne, Thibodaux, South Terrebonne. One in Algiers Point, which doesn't exist anymore, was Holy Name of Mary, who actually won a state championship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, years ago. My kids went to Holy Name of Mary before they shut down after Katrina, but it wasn't even high school then. It was years ago. That was 1957 when Holy Name of Mary was in the Catholic League. West Jeff, Grace King, those were other schools in there. But currently, the Catholic League is made up of just the Catholic schools and John Curtis.
So the reason we're talking about this is because a huge milestone happened this weekend. Holy Cross and Jesuit played their 100th game in the rivalry.
Yeah, against each other, and it's one of the oldest rivalries in the country, and it's ranked number 18 in the 25 best high school rivalries in the United States. So that's a big deal. And as you saw from the trivia question, it's not even the oldest rivalry in New Orleans. I actually went out there for the rivalry, and you know, the tailgating was great. Because it was 100 years, I think it might have been amped up more than normal. They moved it to Roosevelt Boulevard on the other side of the stadium from where they usually have it. And I got to tell you, this was different than any tailgate I've ever been to. I went to Shaw, different Catholic League school, and I haven't seen tailgates like this at a high school game before. It's different than college tailgate because everybody was so cordial and nice to each other. They had a battle of the bands in front of the stage where the drum lines went up against each other.
Yeah.
The two mascots were, you know, sort of jawing with each other, but they posed for a few pictures and videos for me to, you know, to show off the trophy and the plaque for their 100th game. But the bands, the cheerleaders, the fans, they were all drinking and partying together. I mean, they, of course, there's some smack talk going back and forth, but it was really good humor. I mean, I've seen Alabama and LSU tailgates, and they get nasty.
Yeah.
And sometimes fists go a-flying, you know. But it was really good fun to see current students, alumni, just everybody getting along. And this being New Orleans, it doesn't matter that I went to Shaw. I knew dozens of people there just because it's New Orleans. It's a small town. It's a Catholic school thing. So I had friends at Holy Cross and friends at Jesuit on both sides of the game. And they went on for hours before the kickoff at Tag Only Stadium, which, you know, is a beautiful stadium. And at night under the lights, and, you know, thousands and thousands of fans were at that game.
Doesn't get any more high school football than Tad Gormley.
Yeah. And really, the big story is that they were playing for the 100th time. The big story is that it was Jesuit and Holy Cross. The big story is not who won, right?
I was about to ask who you root for, and remember. Yeah, but sadly, my Tigers did not succeed in that night.
Yeah, so that makes the record Jesuit 58 wins, Holy Cross 40 wins, and one tie. The series dates back to 1922. I found another source that says it dates back to 1919. That one's wrong because we're saying they played 100 games. It wasn't 100 years. So whoever did the 1919 just simply did the math and said, oh, they must have played once a year. But
yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe they met in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they did meet in the playoffs a couple times.
That's a possibility. So that would count in how many times you've played each other. So, yes, the one I think is more reliable was 1922 when Jesuit and Holy Cross first played. So that means the other rivalry that's in the trivia was before then. That's a long time ago. So we're talking leather helmets and brain damage.
Before World War II. Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on to entertainment, which also has to do with the Catholic League. So for entertainment, it's going to be a very short section because we're talking about a film that isn't even completed yet. And this film was put out by WLAE, which is the public television station of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And the title of this film is Glory Days. It's all about the Catholic League. They finished parts 1 and 2, which you can go to their website and purchase or catch it on WLAE sometimes. And they're working on part 3 right now, which I read was supposed to be done sometime this year. But they're looking for funding. So just to tell you a little bit about Glory Days, the first two parts, here's a trailer.
It was 4 of the finest years of my life.
I call it, quote, the League.
If I had it to do all over again, would I do it? Yeah.
We're proud of our district.
Glory days of New Orleans prep football.
It was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life.
You rolled up your sleeves and you knew your knuckles were going to get a little bloody because it was going to just be a knockdown, drag-out fight.
you've heard of Friday Night Lights, well, that's us. We're just the Louisiana version.
The crowd was incredible. Because City Park Stadium was packed.
They had like 26,000 people in the stands.
44,000 people for a high school football game.
They just had talent from one end to the other.
They have so much history and tradition there.
Everybody knows who you're talking about.
Who, the golden boy, Pat Screen.
The best football player in high school.
Pat Screen was a hero of everybody.
Richard Solomon would get the ball and run through the line.
He'd run down the field.
And the guys would dive at him and reach and catch air.
I mean, just phenomenal. Nobody even touched him.
Great coach was just a genius.
Otis Washington.
Henry Randall.
Joe Z.
Easton Roth.
John Altobello.
John Altobello might have been the finest gentleman I've ever known.
Bobby Conlon.
Bob Conlon. Everybody knows Bob Conlon.
You always respected your opposition because you knew them on and off the field.
The Catholic League was the epitome of football.
Can I tell you a story?
This is a true story. You can't make this one up.
Bobby Nuss said, those guys attack you like a swarm of ants.
Before you knew it, everybody around school was calling us the Super Ants.
Oh, the Super Ants, huh?
88, it's time to come home.
Sammy Martin.
Kenny Rapp.
Ronnie Doyle, Wayne Juneau, Morris Powell.
Title LaFosse.
Shaw became Shaw when John Forcade went to Shaw.
I was told I would be playing as a freshman, but I was only 13 years old.
The competition is fierce.
We played in the toughest league in the state.
When those guys wanted to win, they sucked it up and they won.
Thank the good Lord I had the opportunity to participate.
These are stories, you know, that carry throughout your life and you're never going to forget them.
Well, that's really interesting, and I think anybody who went to those high schools, which I'm sure is a lot of our viewers, would like to help fund that.
Yeah, and I just find it really interesting how much a part of New Orleans history. We like picking different parts of New Orleans history to talk about, and you really can't tell New Orleans history without Catholicism and then without the schooling and so many prominent people, be it NFL players, which St. August had 40-somewhat players. Oh, just real quick, which school do you think had the second most NFL players out of the Catholic League?
So I think St. Aug's first, because I know Leonard Fournette.
Oh, no, St. Aug is way first. I think they had 40-somewhat players.
Yeah, because the latest is like Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. And the next one's like, I think, 18 or 19 players.
I want to say Brother Martin, because they've had a lot of matchups. They have a lot of O-linemen.
I'll give you a hint. It's the reason why I'm asking.
Is it Holy Cross?
No! Go Eagles.
Shaw? Are we talking about players or people that work in the stadium?
No, we're talking about players. Hey, and only one of us have had an NFL head coach.
Oh, really?
Vance Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, he's not the head coach there anymore, but, you know, Vance Joseph was the coach of the Broncos.
Yes.
So, but no, the Catholic League has had mayors, congressmen, Pulitzer Prize winners. Just, they've really pumped out a lot of quality.
Well, we were talking about that on another show, that you don't really say what college you went through. You're always defined by what high school you go to.
Yes, in New Orleans, you say, where'd you go to school?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's public or private school, you say the name of the school you went to. And just real quick, I know we're talking about football mostly here, but as I was looking through this stuff, if you get a chance, go look up how many MLB players went to Jesuit.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It was just an incredible list. But you can find this across all the sports. You were talking about the swimming championships that Holy Cross won when they went down a few divisions. You know, but, you know, across all the sports, you're going to find professional athletes and, you know, you're going to find professional athletes.
Yeah, and all kinds of stuff, you know.
But Glory Days touches on just the football aspect of the Catholic League. Talks about the history of the Catholic League. It's great to watch. It has interviews with coaches, interviews with players, a lot of old footage and pictures, you know, of the history of the Catholic League. And I found it to be enthralling. I can't wait for part three. But if you're interested in donating, you don't just have to donate money to WLAE for this. They're selling, and I'll showing you right now the website, they're selling parts 1 and 2 now, where you can buy those on DVD and watch those at home while supporting part 3 to get done.
Yeah, that's definitely something fun to do, to go back to where your school was. And I'm sure you'll probably remember all the old buildings.
Sure.
You know, at Holy Cross, where our old campus was pretty much destroyed by Katrina. Nice down memory lane to see those old buildings.
And when part 3 does get released on WLAE for broadcast, check out our social media, follow us, because I'll definitely let you know, and we'll announce it on our shows here, that part three is ready, up and running. But, you know, go ahead and check out WLAE, their website, and get parts one and two. Help support part three.
And if you have some pictures from your glory days, make sure you tag NOPC.
Yeah, I'm going to put one up right now of my glory dates. You got one of yours?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we'll put one up of ours, our glory dates as athletes.
I don't know. I don't look much like an athlete in mine.
But we both got a letter, right?
Yeah, I was a three-letter, because they gave letters for theater.
Holy cross wood.
Yeah.
I'll admit it, if you see my letterman check, I only have one letter, but that's because I had one removed.
Oh.
Yeah, because freshman year I did letter in bowling, but I told him, don't put that next to my soccer ball. I had the bowling ball removed. No offense to bowlers, but I wasn't very good.
But before we keep talking about our glory days, I think there's something that we need to discuss before we end the show.
The beer?
No, we already talked about the beer.
Yes, I know what we got to discuss. Trivia.
So, are you ready for the trivia answer?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's the question. Is what is the oldest robbery in New Orleans? And this one tricked me for a little bit.
Yeah, because you were always told, going to Holy Cross, he was always told that Holy Cross and Jesuit is the second oldest robbery.
In the U.S. That's what they told us.
In the U.S.
They filled their heads with so much grandeur.
Like, yeah. But actually, would we say the y'all's first one was 1919, something like that?
No, it was 1925.
Yeah, so that was their first rivalry. This one dates back to 1901.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it was Boys High versus Jesuit. And you're probably thinking, where the hell's Boys High? You know, Boys High became Warren Easton.
Okay.
Yeah, Warren Easton right there on Canal Street. Yeah, so you can still drive by. And Warren Easton Jesuit still played. The reason why it's not one of the top rivalries in the country is because it wasn't continuous like Holy Cross and Jesuit. And that they weren't in the same division. They didn't play every year. They played a bunch of times. And whenever Warren Easton and Jesuit get together, it's a big deal, just like Holy Cross and Jesuit getting together. And they're right down the street from each other, pretty much. They're really close. So they first played in 1901, and this is the oldest rivalry in the state and one of the oldest rivalries in the country. So that's your trivia question, and that's our show.
Yeah. Thank y'all for watching. We appreciate y'all all the time. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube and check out the website.
Yeah, it's go to nolsum.com, our hashtag.
NOPC.
Yeah, ask us questions. Correct us. We like to be corrected. So, but have a good week.
You too.